Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet into Words.
I came here to study.
To work.
To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet into Words.
Esto es Con los pies en dos mundos.
Piyayam burada, piyayam orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet into Worlds.
An entrepreneur blends her Jewish and Japanese heritage to make one of New York's most popular snacks on four wheels.
Food was always very important in all of our homes and all of our gatherings. And in terms of baking, it was interesting to see both sides, the way they would take what I would think of as American treats and then make them themselves.
I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. On this Food in Two Worlds podcast, we're taking it to the street, the city's vibrant food truck scene. Feet in Two Worlds reporter Teresa Lung has been hanging out with Kim Ema, the woman who created the treats truck. Teresa joins me in the studio now. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, John.
Teresa, what is the treats truck?
Well, Kim Ema is a baker, and she makes delicious tiny sweets like lemon bars, pecan butterscotch bars, chocolate truckers, which are chocolate with buttercream.
Sounds delicious.
She makes brownies and chocolate chip cookies, too. So the treats truck is her truck where she sells these sweets. And the truck smells a little bit of vanilla and like a little bit of chocolate as you approach it.
Even on the street, you can smell it.
Yeah. Yes, you can, a little bit. Well, as you know, food trucks here in New York City, they're kind of a relatively new trend. And but the story of the treats truck actually started much earlier than when Kim started the truck in 2007. The story starts with Kim's grandfather, who grew up on the Lower East Side in the 20th century.
And he would talk about this thing, the Charlotte Russe, and it was just a little bit of sponge cake with a little bit of whipped cream, I believe, in a little paper sleeve or a little paper cup. I don't know if he got it in a little bakery or if it was actually from a street cart, but he would talk about this little dessert. And I forgot about that memory for the longest time. And then I started the treats truck. And then I realized, wait a second, Grandpa told that story. And I felt like, wow, it's kind of come full circle to being on the street.
So on Kim's maternal side, her grandfather grew up poor in New York City. And his father was a peddler who sold pots and pans. So that's why Kim feels like, you know, coming back to her roots with the treats truck.
So that's the Jewish side of her family. What about the Japanese side?
Yeah, so Kim is half Japanese, and her father and actually his family during World War II, they were interned in Minidoka in Idaho. What really ties this together for her and the treats truck is this love of food.
And food was always very important in all of our homes and all of our gatherings. And in terms of baking, it was interesting to see both sides, the way they would take what I would think of as American treats and then make them themselves, and the pride they took in that, or like the ones they would choose to make, or the things that were connected them to either their family and their culture, or their hybrid culture, things that they were interested in. There's always some kind of offering of food, and so often sweets I really connect to memories of growing up on both sides.
Also, I should say that Kim is a creative bundle of energy. She bursts with passion for her customers, for her work, and her work is really making treats. When I interviewed her, we sat in her treats truck in the cab in the front. She was sitting in the driver's seat. And Kim is so funny. She was dressed in the trademark bandana. This one was a red bandana. It was around her head, and she was wearing her hair in braids a la Pippi Longstocking.
Now, of all the food trucks in New York, what drew you to Kim and the treats truck?
You know, about 2 years ago, I read an article about Kim, and it was published in, of all places, the real estate section of the New York Times. And I thought three things. Well, one, wow, what an interesting family background Kim has, you know, the Jewish and the Japanese ancestry. And two, isn't it great that she has an apartment in the West Village?
Right. Real estate trumps everything in New York.
And three, why is it or how is it that a theater performer decided to change careers and become a baker? So then I did a little more research and I found out she had recently published a cookbook. She's been involved with raising awareness about how the city's dealing with the food truck operators. And then also that she's opening a new cafe in Brooklyn. So I figured, wow, I want to report a story about her. And as I said earlier, she has this infectious enthusiasm. And it reminds me of other entrepreneurs. And it's this idea, you know, her challenges and successes, I think they sort of encompass this updated version of seeking the American dream.
Now, you said she has a background in theater. Did she have any formal food experience before she started the Treats Truck?
Well, Kim's not a professionally trained baker, but she loves to bake, and she learned to bake actually with members of her family. So those memories helped her kind of spur her decision to start the Treats Truck. And when I spoke with her, I asked her about some of the recipes that she learned with her mom and other female members of her family.
Kugel. Kugel is one of the things. It's not a dessert, but it is a little sweet. And it's like a side dish, like a side starch, almost like a, you know, like a kind of a casserole. You could have a potato kugel or a noodle kugel, and it could be done in many different ways. So depending on if I was, you know, if it was going to be at my mom's house, and we'd make a certain kugel, and you know, someone else would make a kugel a different way.
One of the main times of the year Kim would cook with her mom's side of the family was at the Jewish holiday of Passover, and there's a communal meal. The Seder is the centerpiece.
Passover is full of food that has meaning, and the whole meal is a service. The whole meal, which encourages, though, laughter and eating and drinking and storytelling.
Kim actually sells quite a few kosher for Passover treats on the Treats Truck. For example, macaroons, apricot squares, and an apple Passover cake.
Yeah, definitely a lot of the recipes are inspired by family and by friends. And the apple Passover cake is, I love that cake. And, you know, for Passover, you can't have anything that's leavened, so it's made with matzah flour. But a lot of people like it on the truck, and they don't even celebrate Passover. You know, some people love it. They're just like, I just love that apple cake. And I'll say, and it's for Passover. And they'll go, yeah, that's fine, but just give me a slice.
Teresa, clearly the Jewish side of Kim's heritage has had a big influence on her and on the Treats Truck. What about the Japanese side?
Kim's father's family has actually been in the United States for a few generations. So she says that their food traditions were a mix, Japanese blended with American.
When my Japanese grandma would come to stay at our house, she lived in Seattle, Washington, and we were in California. You'd open her suitcase, and the first thing you'd see was the food. You knew it was coming, too. Like, you open her suitcase, and she would bring us mochi, and she'd bring us rice crackers. And we'd go to the local store to set her up so she could make us a special meal. For example, we'd have our soda pop called Pop and our potato chips with our sukiyaki, and then maybe Jell-O with whipped cream for dessert that day. Or maybe it's a cake she made from one of her community cookbooks, which was like a chocolate cake made with mayonnaise. And it all seemed to be a part of our history here in this country and all the influences that had come before us and swirled all together.
So Kim doesn't actually have Japanese-inspired foods in the truck itself.
And why is that?
Well, Kim told me that, you know, in her father's generation, they would purchase Japanese treats, things like mochi. But at home, they would make American treats. So it never really occurred to her to make Japanese treats. But I noticed that Kim did include an item from her Japanese heritage into her business. If you look at the truck, you're sitting next to the cash register, there's a white Japanese cat, a little lucky Maneki Neko cat, a beckoning cat with its left paw raised.
Of course, from day one, I knew I had to have, I could not have opened a business without my lucky cat, and my Neko, my kitty cat. I just always grew up with businesses having a beckoning cat for good luck and prosperity. And to me, that was as much a part of who I am as anything. It was a given. I have a truck, it's filled with treats, and I have a cat. And the history of the cat, I also love. And growing up, I mean, my child's understanding of it was there was a poor shopkeeper who had very little, you know, just barely any rice left anyway, and he was very, very poor, and a hungry cat came by, and he shared the last of his rice with the hungry cat, and magically the bag filled with rice, and then the cat beckoned, and, you know, people poured into the shop. And so it's a lot about prosperity and generosity, and I've always loved that story since I was a kid.
That's a great story, and of course it's about food. And you can just hear in Kim's voice she still is a bit of a performer. How does she combine her earlier occupation as a theater person with the Treats Truck?
Well, John, Kim's an artist. She was and still is part of a theater company, La Mama Experimental Theater Club in the East Village. But she actually sees this career as an extension of her previous one. And she says that running the Treats Truck is in many ways like putting on a show. In fact, she's still involved with La Mama.
And last year, I made a big set of West Side Story in gingerbread. And then we got a whole band together, and we did a one-night benefit for the company with live dancing and singing and little gingerbread sharks and jets. And it was really fun and kind of just fantastic. So for me, it didn't feel like a total career change, as that the current project I'm doing, which is long-term and open-ended, happens to be a small business. And it happens to be a food truck that has a lot of treats on it.
Teresa, it's interesting that there are many food trucks in the city owned by immigrants and serving ethnic food. Kim's food, while not obviously ethnic, actually is the result of her unique family history plus her own creative flair.
Exactly. Putting this story together, John, I spoke with Helena Tubis, who's the managing director of the Vendy Awards, which recognizes street food vendors. And she feels that perhaps the second and third generation of immigrants, these food entrepreneurs, they're entering the food vending business in this attempt to reclaim or reimagine their food culture. And Kim Ima is certainly a part of that trend.
Teresa, thank you so much for introducing us to Kim Ima of the Treats Truck.
Glad to be here.
Teresa Lung is a documentary filmmaker and a Feet in Two Worlds Food Reporting Fellow. She's currently working with artist Laura Nova and heading up Feed Me a Story, a documentary-style video cookbook and web application that encourages the sharing of secret family recipes and food memories. The Feet in Two Worlds podcast is produced by Sarah Kate Kramer and Jocelyn Gonzalez. Our engineer is Chad Bernhard at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. We are a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or use the Stitcher Smart Radio app. Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the New York Community Trust and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, with additional support from the Cyrus Fund, the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation, and WNYC, New York Public Radio. This podcast was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV. You can support us by going to news.feetintoworlds.org and clicking Help Support FI2W.